Soil where them rappers be getting they lingo from.
Ooh. Tell me when to go.
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 Everyone, welcome to an episode of the Calicom Blogcast. That was E40's Tell Me When to Go, because we're moving from the music of LA to the music of the Bay. So we're going to start off with a little bit of hyphy music. And I think it's telling that we're playing that song because, A, it's always been like this back-end anthem of what Fanime is, but now it's kind of like translated to the Crunchyroll Expo. Not to mention, there's a lot of like hype going around this con, because you know, when we say the words Hololive Expo, I think that rings a different tune with a lot of people.
I mean, it is pretty much Hololive Expo from Crunchyroll's perspective. I mean, if you've been looking at the guest list of what Crunchyroll has been bringing out, oh yeah, I would imagine it being so.
Yeah, and I said this before, when we first heard about Hololive Meet, I think it was just Mori, someone from Indonesia, and somebody else. And I said, okay, let's bring those three. But we'll talk about how many Hololive people they're bringing over to Crunchyroll Expo. But before that, we have some topics ranging from slot machines to Grand Theft Auto to stuff to other cons to other cons doing stuff. And to do so, I'll bring in today's panel. I have Jericho.
I kind of prefer Dragon Rolls, really. The eel really brings it together.
Levi?
It is hotter than Satan's asshole. Fuck.
How hot is it up there in Medford right now?
Right this minute, it is 8:30, and it is still 97 degrees.
We bruh.
Shit.
Bruh.
Please put the fan on or something.
And I live in Oregon, so we don't have central air. So it's even worse.
Yo, okay, so I just pulled my weather app right now. It is saying it's 100 right now.
Oh, really?
In Medford?
Wait. Get the fuck out of here. Today was 114. Tomorrow's 109.
Wait. Yeah. In Medford? Is it really that hot in Medford?
Yeah.
What?
It's been like this for a week.
What the fuck? Wait. Yeah. And it's in the mountainous areas. Are you kidding me?
Ugh. Yeah. We have nasty heat waves in the summer.
Jesus.
Oh my god.
And if you thought about global warming wasn't real, I'm telling you right now.
Well, I got stuff to do outside potentially tomorrow. Thank God it's only gonna be 88, but holy cow. Everyone, stay cool, drink lots of water. That's all I can really say right now. And please don't burn like the nearest state, like California or Oregon. Please don't burn it, please. We already have fucking wildfires as is in this area. We don't need any more.
We just have
So stop having babies, guys. Like, no more gender reveals, please.
Speaking of wildfires, I finally have Nate.
It took me a while. I'm at the end.
While I'm out. Wow.
Okay, so we're going to start with something that we brought up before, involves Persona 5. But before I do so, because we are going to bring up slot machines, therefore bring up gambling. I want to bring on a very, very special guest to talk about the dangers of gambling. Trainwrecks, take it away.
Do not get it twisted. Do not gamble. Do not start. Gambling is entertainment and entertainment only. You won't break even. You won't win. You won't do any of that. Do you understand? You will only go into debt and ruin your fucking life. I do this because I fucking love it. I do it all the time. It's entertainment for people who can afford it. And that's it. You will lose.
So a while back, we talked about the Persona 5 slot machine for reals, spelled F-O-R-R-E-E-L-S. And so while we're going along, after we talked about that, we noticed that, and I'm not sure we talked about this, but there's a reason why we're bringing this up again. I think it was a casino in Southern California. It was a Pechanga. It was one of the other ones that I don't really know of. It wasn't the one that's in, what's that place called? Like Palm Springs. So as we talked about it previously, I think Nate was going to try to check Cache Creek, and I was going to check Thunder Valley and possibly Red Hawk. Well, last week when we were not here, I went to go check Thunder Valley. And people don't realize this, but Thunder Valley is top five, I think top five or 10 of the biggest casinos in America. I believe number one is something in Oklahoma, but then like somehow, some way, I remember like, oh my God, Thunder Valley's that big. So when I got to Thunder Valley last Saturday, it took me a hot minute to comb the entire length of the casino just to find a certain Persona 5 slot machine. Because not only it's also in the main area, they've carved out like hallways that kind of curve into where, like, let's say the back end of the poker entrance or where now Bingo resides. There's more like it in another, like a slot saloon. So they've carved a lot of space out for slot machines. And I'm combing and combing and combing, trying to find this particular Persona 5 slot machine. And I think at the very end, it's like, nah, they don't have it. Mm. And then I proceed to do other things. And let's just say it was not a fun day in the wallet.
Well, that tells me that you kind of went ham and lost it all.
I don't want to talk about it.
Don't talk about it. I mean, we get it.
You had too much ham.
You had to, yeah. But here's the thing. It was your birthday weekend, after all, so you want to try your best.
Let's just say punting, 1.5 buy-ins.
Oh, boy.
So I told Nate, and he said, boo. So I have two running theories right now. The running theory is that I want to say that this Persona 5 slot machine is centrally located right now just in SoCA. I think it's a test run, which means Cache Creek may or may not have it. But I have this other thing, because we talked about this also on our podcast way long time ago, back when we did our fantasy convention expansion draft, when we did a second convention, and my venue that I picked, much dismay of people at that time, was Sky River Casino, which is currently being constructed right now in Sacramento off of 99 in Grantline Road in Oak Grove. All right. So, you think I'm going to Vegas?
Guys, if it's not fucking Vegas,
looking like it. It could be Atlantic. It could be Atlantic City.
Yeah, it's not Atlantic City. It's not Reno. I'm in Sacramento.
Get the fuck out of here.
Madam, you mind explaining to me why you had to go somewhere close by in the hometown in Sac?
Because there is a brand new casino opening up in Elk Grove called the Sky River Casino.
And one of its first events will be this convention.
This convention, because they are going to have a convention center.
Probably small.
Well, I'm not going to complain there.
Oh, boy.
And there's been some news that Sky River Casino is actually going to open ahead of their scheduled planned date. I think it was like 2023. So they might open actually this year. And actually, it's to the point where they're advertising on social media that you can get your player that you can get your players' cards right now by applying it through like their own website, and then you'll receive it when you get there. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, the best shot that I think that this Persona 5 shot, this Persona 5 slot machine may have is to show up at this particular con. Sorry, at this particular casino, because it's a brand new casino and they have to fill the space. The other thing is, Nate, go check Cash Creek for me.
I will probably do, but the thing is, like, it's not as big as Thunder Valley. I mean, they do have their slot machine. Some are cool. Some are, like, well-known, like Buffalo, Wheel of Fortune, they're all there. But a rare slot machine like Persona 5, that's going to be quite an interesting thing to find. I don't know if this. I don't know if Nevada already has like the Persona 5 slot machines.
You check when I go to Vegas.
It's true.
Yeah, that is true. But then also, if it was anywhere outside of what that initial post was, I would have saw it either on my own Instagram, because I think I've started following, or where I check everything, Reddit, especially some of the Persona subreddits. So if they definitely show up anywhere else, we'll definitely talk about that.
But my thing right now is like, I mean, it's rare. It's really interesting that they found something in in Southern California that they would actually bring a slot machine from Japan to bring it over here. Is it from Japan?
I believe so.
I would imagine so. Yeah, I was just say like they would bring a slot machine from Japan and bring it over here.
But it's for everybody to play. But it's designed for an American audience, because as we talked about with the machine. It's not like it does show on there that you can make it out of petty slots.
Right. But like I said, we don't know how things are. But like I said, I'll see Cash Creek hopefully in September, because I was planning to go there September. And we'll see how it is.
Yeah.
My question is, will the slot machine be in Japanese or English dub? And can you switch in between?
I believe it's I don't think there's voices in, because from the footage I've seen, I don't think there's voices within the characters. I think it's more of like when you hear the lyrics, you'll start hearing "Wake up, get up, get out there," or you start hearing like a "Last Surprise."
So you just see the characters just pop up, and then the music comes in. If you like, say for example, get a bonus.
Yeah.
So,
I believe when you hit like the jackpot, it's when it's like the show's over. So it shows like the all out attack animation. That's how you know you won, or some shit like that. But I don't think any of them are voiced. I think it's just more of like the Persona music, and then you hear some of like the vocal songs by Lin.
Okay.
Hey, as long as people get to listen to Lin.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So, speaking of Thunder Valley, I'm going to roll this into kind of like this other update. We talked about, I don't know if it was the previous podcast or something type before, we talked about Round 1 Roseville and, you know, the time that we were hoping when it was going to open. Well, by the time you're hearing this, it's going to open this Saturday.
Oh, really? So, yeah. It's finally opening it up. Okay.
And they're finally opening. They're going to do a soft opening. The Friday of, so that would be the 5th of August, and then the official grand opening is going to be the 6th. Now, I will warn you all, this round one seems a little bit small compared to some of the ones you may know. So don't go in with the big expectation that, oh, this round one's going to be really massive. I think it's like, it's part of a two-story building, because I'm picturing it from where Rose Gallery is. I think like one floor is round one, and the other floor is a movie theater. Because you have to remember, both a round one and movie theater are sharing the floor space that Sears used to be in. If you know how big a Sears used to be.
Yeah, but I don't know. Interesting thought about that.
Well, if you know, if you've been to, you know, the Galleria and been through that Sears, as I've always been ever since I've grown up in this area. I used to buy stuff at Sears before they closed. Rest in peace.
Oh, Sears has not been the best store to say.
Early 2000s? Early 2000s Sears? Hell yeah.
I was buying some stuff. Sears, dude.
Hey. My place I shop was Mervyn's.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that was that was a good store.
Oh, come on, dude. I got my Genesis games like from Sears back in the day.
Oh, God.
Okay. Or Kmart, too. There's also that.
Oh, God, I miss Kmart.
Yeah, I do, too. We're back to a nostalgia run here of all the stores you used to grow up with.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
This is coming back.
Wait, what?
Toys R Us is coming back.
Oh, that's right. They are. Yeah. They are. For the holiday season.
Hopefully.
Well, they're coming back as mini stores inside of Macy's.
Yes, that I've heard that.
Did they do that last year?
I don't know. It's going to roll out to every Macy's nationwide starting this holiday season.
I think it's something to do with Macy's, considering Macy's is also like slipping when it comes to being a big retail store.
Yeah, so, I think this is Macy's last hurrah.
To be fair, like the last time I went to inside of Macy's, everything is just all messy. Like I think it'll give a fuck about like how to clean up and how to make things look nice and all.
Speaking of things that are, what'd you say? I'm trying to find a good transition.
Oh, I said it do be that way.
Speaking of it be that way, big thing here on this podcast, I don't like to talk about politics, whether it's something regarding COVID, whether it's regarding certain policies, whatnot. So we're going to try to hit these next two topics that seems to be politically charged. And the first one we're going to bring up is Grand Theft Auto 6. Now, how long has it been since we've had Grand Theft Auto 5 come out? Because it's almost going to be a decade
like
that this game is out.
A long time ago. I remember my sister loved to play GTA 5. 6 just never came up to fruition. They always keep on putting DLCs for GTA 5.
The time span between GTA 5 and 6 is about the same time difference as the last time I went to an anime expo. That's how long it's been.
Oh. What's up? Well, okay, but still, it's a very long time, like 10
yeah.
years.
I remember getting this game like when it first came out on like the PS3, and I got like that super special edition with the bank bag.
Oh, I remember that. I had that too.
I still got that shit. I put like my important documents in there.
And then we got it on PS4. Then we got it on PS5. Then we got it on PC. Then we got it on all the Xboxes. It didn't come out on Switch, rip Switch, but who cares about the Switch? And then Grand Theft Auto Online came
out. Shut up.
And then Grand Theft Auto Online came out, and that's been a whole shebang in itself. But, you know, but since then, Rockstar only came out with another game that was Red Dead Redemption 2. And if you've been following what happened with Red Dead Redemption 2 and Red Dead Online, it's been a whole different story with that. But, you know, that's not why I'm talking about GTA 6. Because I forgot when this got mentioned, but Rockstar did confirm it is in development. And just this week, a Bloomberg article has come out. I'm taking this article with a grain of salt because it's nothing that Rockstar has confirmed themselves. But it's something that the article states is from people working on the game, or as they call it, people familiar with the game. And one of the big things that they have announced is that for the first time in the franchise history, it seems like the single player mode will feature a playable female protagonist. And that's big in itself.
So you can play as a female lead, is that what it is?
As a female, yeah. So in the past, in all GTA games, they've been males. GTA 5, you had Michael, Franklin, and Trevor. And then GTA 4, you had Nico. GTA Vice City, you had Tommy. GTA 3 had, I think it's like nameless protagonist. And then, kind of like sitting in the eons is Persona. Wow, yeah, like Persona 1 and 2. No, but Persona 1 and 2. People forget about Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, 1 and 2. And some people have brought up the fact that you actually can't play as a female in the original Grand Theft Auto.
Oh. Well, I haven't played it, so I won't know.
I played a little bit of it, but it's more the top down and less of this single player campaign that has a lot of like commentary on what society is and what we're going through. So the article mentions that yes, you are able to play as a female. Now they haven't said whether or not it's going to be like the GTA 5 thing where you get to pick from three people, one of them is a female, or is it going to be solely from the female perspective? The other thing is that they confirmed the females. How do I put this? I want to say identity. Would that count? No. We'll talk about the city in a second. The origins. It's gonna be It's gonna be Latin origins, Latina.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's new.
Yeah. So yeah. And you know, to be very fair, GTA, the main leads have always had some sort of non, you know, quote unquote white lead. Tommy was Italian, but Nico was Russian. Well, technically that is still, but it's not like traditional in its sense.
Nico was Bulgarian.
Yeah. Tommy was, I think it was Italian. Franklin's African American. And so we don't know because it says here, it says a pair of leading characters. So we don't know if it's going to be another girl or you get to play as a person. But they are mentioning some sort of like Bonnie and Clyde. So it could be another male. And you know the thing about this is this is great news that you know that they're going to include a female lead. You know, we're seeing a lot more female leads in video games, whether it's Horizon Zero Dawn or The Last of Us. You know, and it's unfortunate that you know the internet culture. You know, there's going to be that loud minority that don't like this, and unfortunately, we're hearing that loud minority. I'm like, really, guys, really,
bruh,
come on,
yeah. I mean,
we just gotta embrace the change. Come on now. I mean, they females need more recognition because we haven't seen female leads in quite a while when it comes to video games and all. And now that we're having that transition of video games having more female leads, I'm down for that. It's pretty cool to actually have them have a leadership role when it comes to video games.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels like you just want to get out of that group that, I don't know, it's just, there's always going to be a lot of backlash of people that are just going to comment on saying like, oh, this is not a male lead. Oh, I hate this game. Stopping playing the game.
Or, you know, the buzzword of this controversy. They're woke.
Yeah. the woke niche. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I hate the name of woke, but the thing is, like, there are people that are kind of in that woke. I have a friend who's part of that, and I hate it sometimes because it's like, we get it. You have the right way of like thinking of how change is supposed to be, but come on, I mean, don't do it all the damn time. Like, I keep on seeing your posts, liking this, liking that, and I'm like, okay, cool for you, but you don't need to put it public.
Yeah, it's just the, you know, kind of like all things. It's, you know, like the woke movement has been hijacked by, unfortunately, extremists on both the left and the right. Somehow through this controversy, I also learned that NoFap November has been hijacked by the white ring. I'm like, what the fuck? What?
What kind of news are you listening? What kind of news are you watching? Jesus.
Yeah. yeah.
Are you following like, me?
Yeah. Doing your thingy has been hijacked by the right. I'm like, what?
You know what? No, fuck this. I want to fap every fucking day. You know, fuck that. I think it's the man. But make definitely. It sticky.
Fuck this. Oh my god.
Yeah. You know, it's really hard to hold doujins in your hand versus on your phone. So I've yet to actually go through my copy metamorphosis. Because you have to flip through the book. I'm like, wait, what? Oh, I'm sorry. Levi, I know you mentioned setting. According to this article, GTA 6 was going to be like this really ambitious game that was going to have inclusion of territories modeled after large swaths of North and South America. But as of right now, the setting is, according to this article, Miami.
That's always another Vice City. Yeah, it's always another Vice City.
It could be, or it could be like a modern one,
like a revamp of Vice City, like they did with Los Santos.
Probably, something somewhere along those lines. But that's all we have in terms of this. And then kind of like the rest of the Bloomberg article talks about the big culture with Rockstar and what they're going to do. They talk about stuff like George Floyd and what happens in the office and some stuff. And I'm not going to go into that because I just want to mention the three major things. A Latina female character is playable in that it's going to take place in Miami. Now, again, this is coming off of one article, and Rockstar has not come out and said this is true or not. So, if we hear back from Rockstar at any point in time, A, we're going to talk about it because it's probably going to be a trailer attached to it. And B, we'll know for sure if this is all true or not.
Been a while. Give us GTA 6 now, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. Next year, by the way.
God damn it.
It'll last for like 20 years.
You know what? When people keep on saying that it's going to be next year, they delay it to another year, and then it might continue on and on. I'm like...
You know what also came around this time last decade when GTA 5 was coming out? The first initial trailer for Cyberpunk 2077. If you remember that initial trailer and you thought, how the fuck did they fuck that shit up all these years later? It's astounding to me. So we'll move away from video games, and we're gonna now slide into a whole bunch of convention stuff. Because the first thing we're gonna stay in the realm of politics, because, and this is for a whole completely different reason. When we talk about anime dubs and localization, I know we talked about it on our censorship episode. But, you know, we talked about how, you know, there's finger guns in Yu-Gi-Oh! Or there's donuts and Pokemon instead of rice balls. But, you know, this last couple of years, there's been some interesting edits when it comes to anime. And one of the big examples, and it's funny, we're talking about gaming. The anime prison school. First off, does anyone know what prison school is?
Yep.
It's a booby anime.
It pretty much is.
It's booby anime. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so everyone's this is what prison school is. So there was a controversy a while back of the it was the dub slash like localization efforts of that anime, and it was confirmed that the source material never mentioned this particular thing, but for some reason Funimation included references to Gamergate in prison school, and I'm like, Wait, like, this is nothing happened. There's nothing in the source material about Gamergate, but why are they putting it in here? And there's been a whole bunch of other examples about that. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is a new dubbing studio has formed in Texas. However, it's being formed by the two most unlikable entities within the anime community. That is Anime Matsuri and Vic Mignogna.
Oh boy.
I mean, well, when you said Vic Mignogna, then that already spells bad news.
So we'll tackle the first line of controversy with Anime Matsuri. And it stems back to its sexual harassment controversy that it's been dealing with one of the people who run Anime Matsuri. It's to the point where the thing called like Boycott Anime Matsuri, when Tumblr was still a thing, that was thriving. And I'll post it on our show so you could just see it. But Anime Matsuri, it's like one of those like conventions when you hear about like, oh god, it's so nasty because of, yeah, it's gross incompetence. And supposedly there was a story where, and I have to confirm this with another source, but back when Anime Matsuri went to Hawaii, they brought in a Vietnamese like personality to go to their con, but the con didn't do anything, and they fucked everything up. And when she went to Hawaii, she was arrested and detained, and the con did nothing to help her.
I'm like, wait, for what?
Because it was like something was wrong with her visa, some shit. I have to remember on top of my head. But it was a nasty thing at the time. But just the fact that Anime Matsuri has all been more to this controversy. So is Vic Mignogna. Vic, for Vic, okay, so people who don't know Vic Bagnana or who have kind of forgotten Vic Bagnana. Vic Bagnana is a well-known voice actor of the 2000s. He played Tamaki on High School Host Club. He's played Elric Elric in Fullmetal Alchemist. He's Peyori in Persona 3. But there's always been this aurora about Vic Bagnana, about some of the things that he's done at conventions. And I'm not going to mention those allegations out in person, but we all know what it is. And we've been hearing about it for decades. Then comes the whole thing with Monica Rial and Funimation. I don't want to go into that because that's an old can of worms, but we all know what happened with that. And I'll say this as much. It feels like there was bad actors on all sides. But in the end, like, nothing really came about it because it was just dumb in general. And honestly, it's kind of like, oh, God. But the fact that Vic Bagnana and this con are getting together, and one of the things they're trying to do is they're trying to be a disruptor to the industry. So, you know, the big player right now in the dubbing world is Bangzoon Entertainment. So they're trying to be a disruptor to that, but they're also putting in this whole, they're trying to eradicate bad actors who are only looking to insert politics and other nonsense into their dubs. And I'm like, you're like, what? I mean, I get it. I'm all for, you know, for accurate translations of anime, but I don't need the two most unlikable entities to come together to do that.
No, I don't think. Yeah.
I mean, there's a point of like, you know, hey, you want to be faithful to the Japanese translation, but at the same time, you know, you have to adapt to works in order for it to, you know, make sense. I mean, just as a side note, you know, case in point, the Ava redub for Netflix. I don't know why they call it the First Children. You know, the ADV dub was perfectly fine saying First Child, but you know, that's that in there. But you know, back from the point, I get what they're trying to go for. The way they go about it's probably the worst way to do it with who they chose or who's partnering up to do it.
I don't know what they're trying to think of. I mean, Anime Matsuri has its controversies. Vic Bagnana has a huge list of controversies about him, and yet still people like him for some reason. It just feels like it's a recipe for disaster, actually having these two work together to make a dubbing company. I mean, you'll have the best dubbing companies out there making, voicing for anime and cartoons. Not like this, though. I mean, you have a person like Vic Bagnana who, he's got his good roles, but his controversies are the ones that's kind of overtopping that right now. Then you also do have Anime Matsuri, which also does have a lot of controversies, depending on all the news that always keeps popping up for Anime Matsuri, especially during the last times they had their cons. I can't think that they're going to really do well together. It just feels like if they're trying to compete with another like dubbing company, this is, like I said, it's not a way to go, especially with these guys leading the pact. So, no thanks for me. I mean, good luck with the company, but I feel like it's going to be a disaster.
In my experience and observation, anytime someone says that they're doing something to remove politics, they're not doing that. They're inserting their own politics. I feel like if this was truly about faithful translations, they would have said that it was about faithful translations. But to like intentionally bring politics into it, seems like they have a different agenda, just personally. That's my opinion and my viewpoint. But anytime someone's like, stop bringing politics into this, I'm like, okay, you're just mad that it's not your politics. So you're gonna do what you want to do. Like, I don't know. If it was about faithful translations, that it would be about faithful translations.
Yeah. And kind of like in this conversation, I actually had to go back. I actually remembered how all this transpired with Vic Bagnana and Funimation in the lawsuit that came about. And I'm not downplaying at all what Vic has been accused of. We all know that the evidence is out there. It's largely true for the most part. We've seen the photos. We've seen the stories. And I validate every one of the stories in the photos that I see. But also at the same time, I realize that this whole thing that happened, because as soon as you throw in lawsuits and, you know, courts and there was like a phrase, I don't remember what it was, but like the whole this bullshit around it. It's just it kind of left a bad mark in my mouth for all parties involved, not just Vic, but also in a way Funimation. And Jamie, I think it was Jamie Marchi or Monica Rial.
Both of them.
Yeah, both of them too. But it's just, and if anything, you know what saved Vic? I hate to say this. COVID saved Vic.
What do you mean?
Because everyone forgot about Vic after COVID. Think about it. Because this was the huge thing in 2019. We were talking about this. We were talking about the court case. We were talking about... Like the slap thing that they were doing.
A lot of like voice actors also like were talking about how Vic Mignogna was, etc. The pandemic pretty much closed it down, considering that cons were pretty much like non-existent for 2 years.
But then also Vic went into hiding. He went to hiding, right?
The news for him wasn't there anymore.
There were more
towards obviously the pandemic and just staying safe and everything, which is cool.
And then of course this comes back and everyone can remember, this happened. So
here's the thing, people still remember it. I mean, even if like he's faded away for a bit, I think the startling news of like what Vic Mignogna was still is there. So there's gonna be a lot of people that will like him, that will hate him.
Dude, there's no erasing, though. Like, say what you will about, Twitter and crap. Like, his court case and the subsequent dismissals, they're public record now.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I will say this much, though, because I was around Vic at his heyday in the late 2000s, back when he was just known for Ed, Junpei. And then I mentioned Tamaki, because we yet to get stuff to like what's the redhead guy in Free?
Ren.
Before Vic got cast as Ren for Free, remember that? Remember that shit show?
Oh God, I remember that. Hey, I love Free. I don't want to be in my voice.
Yeah, and that angle people took about that. Holy shit!
I remember that.
But the fact that when you know what. I will say this from personal experience about Vic Mignogna. That aurora that people felt around him, it's largely somewhat true. There was just some sort of like vibe or something that was with him. And, you know, I never got to see in person the quote unquote Sunday services that Vic was alleged to hold at cons.
Yeah, at cons that he does Sunday service, I'm guessing it's born again Christian or something like that, but come on, no one's really gonna do that.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. A lot of this stuff that was rumored at the time, most of them are true, but some of them, like the Soul Sunday Six thing, at least in my experience, I never did. But the fact again is that they're trying to eject something, and it's like, ooh, and we're talking about anniversary because there's a whole bunch of conventions actually happening this weekend. That's one of them. The other one is Otakon. So Vic is premiering his dubbing skills with some anime called Shimizuko and Gen Bonojo. There's like these really it's titles you never heard of. It's like they're redubbing Spy Family, and they're redubbing some 80s anime that everyone knows. It's some weird ass like obscure anime. So we'll find out what actually happened with that, because they're previewing the dub at the convention itself.
That's gonna be interesting to watch.
Well, it's actually happening today.
Oh yeah, that's right. The con's happening right now.
Well, the premiere is actually happening. The con is the 29th, 30th, 31st. And the premieres are supposed to be today. I don't know when, because I'm only reading it off of what the article is talking about. So we're going to move away from controversy and bad stuff, but we're going to talk about happier stuff. We're not talking about Crunchyroll just yet, because I do want to mention one more thing. Before I mention any of the Discord, does anyone know what Holmat is?
I've heard of it because I have a couple of friends that went to Holmat, and they always say that they always had a great time going there. So, you know, it was a convention that I think everybody likes. I don't know. I never been to it, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot more things. And there's a reason why I'm bringing up this particular con. Because, for one, Holmat is short for Holiday Matsuri. It's a convention that happens in the southern region of the United States around Christmas time. And it's one of the better, well-rounded cons that I've heard in this area, because in the past, this area has had like bad actors, kind of we talked about Anime Matsuri, and you know, those particular cons have always had been barred in some sort of controversy. But Holiday Matsuri is the first one that is kind of like in the positive range. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is this con is teaming up with the World Cosplay Summit, or WSO Shorts. The World Cosplay Summit is happening, I want to say, next week or the week after out in Japan. And there's a whole bunch of countries. It started in the early 2000s with like Italy and some of the European nations. And then it expanded to the United States, a lot of the Southeast and Asian countries, and places like India, Russia. The DMCS at Holiday Matsuri announced the Holmat Cultural Exchange Cosplay Program. And this is the full read. The WCS and Holiday Matsuri are excited to announce the Holmat Cultural Exchange Cosplay Program Prize. One of the World Cosplay Summit 2022 Video Division teams will be selected as a winner. Will travel to Orlando, Florida to participate in the Cultural Exchange at Holiday Matsuri.
Oh, wait.
Florida man.
Really?
Florida man.
Wait. Nothing extravagant like Paris or, you know, or New York or anything like that? Orlando?
Yeah. Hold your Florida Man comments really quick. But the thing is that WCS is going to pay for everything. So it's hotel, airfare, and VIP badges to, quote, experience the fun of an international cosplay convention and to make new friends around the world.
Why in Orlando, though? I mean, first off, Florida. The other thing too is there are so much
Florida
that you could go to. Why Orlando? You could have just gone to LA or San Francisco or New York. I mean, they're better cities compared to what Orlando is.
So I put it in our like our description. The matchup between the WCS winner of this package versus Florida Man. Who do you got?
Oh, God.
You seen Florida Man? Florida Man's nuts.
Can't see how they haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet. They keep saying, three days ago, oh, it's at this, but it's going to hit all this warm weather. All this warm weather and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going? There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and saying, well, it's now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse, but you tell us, oh, it's the warm weather. Oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. Drive some Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way. Get the Navy to go in circles to fight it the other way.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever is chosen for the WCS to go to Orlando. If someone offers you bath salts, do not take it.
Oh my God. My thing is that the World Cosplay Showcase is in Japan, yes, but it also does represent cosplayers from around the world. It'd be funny if the United States win and they end up going to Florida.
I don't know if that's the case, because it does not mention it whether or not the U.S. is excluded, because they are part of the video division.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're all a part of this. Like, everybody around the world. Like, France, Spain, you know, everyone. This is the World Cosplay Summit. Yeah, and they would obviously get everybody to be involved. So, who knows? Maybe the United States might win, and then they'll go to Florida for it.
Florida.
Okay, seriously, though. Like, you have all these other cultures and other countries represented in cosplay, and you want to show them Florida. Why couldn't you just go to, like, Anime NYC, Anime Expo could be a better option.
No, don't send the Expo. Sound like SoccerCon. SoccerCon.
SoccerCon. Not Fanime. TRX, maybe.
Anime Central. Anime Boston.
Yeah, Anime Boston. Otakon.
If you want to show them the best of America, send them to Colossal Con in Sandusky, Ohio. Yeah, baby.
Oh, my God.
Nah, send them to Anna Medford.
Oh, my God. In a one small town called Medford, Oregon.
Oh, shit.
It's not even in Medford. The convention is in Grants Pass.
I know, it's in Grants Pass. Like, it's only one town over from Medford, but...
It's 30 miles away, though.
It's north. It's 30 minutes north. And they're calling it Anime Medford 2.
Hey, we call it Anime LA, but it's in Long Beach now.
Oh, that's true. Well, we used to have it far away in Ontario. That was like 2 hours away. And now that's Anime Expo Lite.
I'm pretty sure it's just AX Ontario, not AX Lite.
It is AX Ontario. You know what? I was going to say, can you just call it ALAC, Anime Los Angeles County? But then I realized that Ontario's not in LA County.
No, it's not.
It's in Riverside. so we have to call it AL.
No, but to be fair though, I think like Long Beach is a much better location. So ALA, I can't wait to come next year because you know what happened this year. But besides that, why Holmat? Why out of all the other conventions that we just listed, why Holmat? Is it really that popular to actually bring world cosplayers to the con?
Don't you want a Potteroo over in Florida?
Here's the thing. If you can at least treat them to, like, anything that's in Orlando, like Walt Disney World, then you should be okay.
It's still in Florida, though!
But Disney World! I mean, it's exciting of Disney World.
Yeah, but Florida.
Okay, yeah. Sure. Here's the thing. I hope the cosplayers don't get eaten by alligators.
It's fucked up, dude. Oh shit. So again, Holiday Matsuri, great convention from what we heard, but yeah, sending cosplayers internationally to Florida is okay.
Could have just bought Anime NYC. That would be much better. Jeez.
So
I still can't get over it.
So finally,
Florida man.
So we're going to Florida and we're going to go back home to California because we're going to preview another convention. This one is Crunchyroll Expo 2022 happening at the San Jose in McCarty Convention Center. It's happening on August 5th through the 7th. And the theme of Crunchyroll Expo, there's two. One of them is that, get what happened at Anime Expo and all that jazz. So far with Crunchyroll Expo, we have yet to see any of the marred controversy or kind of like issues about overcrowding. And so, you know, there's like this, again, we talked about at the top of the show, about this hype that's around Crunchyroll Expo. And one of the things that they've dug really deep in is HoloLife. And I also mentioned at the top of the show that when HoloLife Meet first came about, they were just gonna bring, I thought they were gonna bring just Mori, some Indonesian one, and then somebody else. And then they blew the door with 24 HoloLife guests.
A lot. Oh my God. So here's the thing. I didn't expect to actually see so many HoloLife, representatives that are coming over to this convention. So if you're a huge HoloLife fan, this is your con to go to for sure.
So we're gonna mention. So I'm gonna run through all of them. And the first one they mentioned is Mori Calliope, which by the way, speaking of Mori, her most recent EP Shinigami No. Oh my God, such fucking banger.
So good.
So more is going, and then we have Takanashi Kiara.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm gonna start dinging myself, people. So I'll get the ding ready. Post. We have Ninomei, Inanis, Barguda, Watson Amelia.
Yes, yes, Gargura.
Ninomei, Inanis.
Yeah, and that's all of the Hall Life English myth. So, and then we have one from the English Project Hope, which is Iris. And then when Mori and Guar and Amelia all got announced, it was like, all right, cool, we got the myth. And then they dropped the entire council on Crunchyroll Expo. So we have...
Dude, oh my god. Yeah, that's right.
So we have Saris Futat, Fana, Oro, Oro Koroni, Nashi Mume, Hako Bay. Hako's Bays, Bales.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, all of them. And, you know, I thought, like, when the first five or six Hololive people came up, I was like, all right, cool. I can see Amelia. I can see Gura. I'm okay with that. But now you have more and more, and I was like, okay, this is getting interesting. Because there's, like, I mean, it is a Hololive meet, after all. So I was like, cool, some Hololive members are coming to CRX. But... I didn't expect more and more to come.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's all the council, and then this next group is Hall Life Indonesia. So you have Ayanda Ritsu, Muna Hoshinova, Erani Yofitina, Kuruji Oli, Anya Melfissa, Pavola Rain, Vesta Zeta, Kayla Kovashita, and Kobo Kane. Wow. there's a lot of fucking digs post-edit. Holy shit.
Oh, you forgot a couple others, too.
No, that's all 19.
Okido Soro? No, Generation Zero?
No, there's no Generation Zero going.
Yeah, no, there are.
There is.
What? Not on this
Okino
list.
Okino Sora, Sakura Miko.
I don't know if I mentioned that one.
And two from the latest generation, Louis and Chloe.
Yeah, that's right, from Hololive
X. So, yeah, I'm going off of, there's a post that says Maso Hololive guest lineup revealed for Crunchyroll. And I might, because there's another one, I think, okay, so there's another one you shared. That one probably has those people listed. And then the one that I'm going off of is Achon.
An earlier announcement.
And then the big, big, big one is Hololive's English Tempest is making their convention debut.
They just debuted
in July.
They just began on YouTube. What the fuck?
So we have Regis, Magni, Axel, and Noor. They're all going barely from their debut, and they're going to be featured. They're going to be within the Hololive experience. I'm like, they just got to.
We just got here.
Exactly. And FYI, their debut. Yeah, this is their first event debut at CRX. I'm like, Jesus.
They just debuted in general.
I know. They just debuted in general. Fuck. So Crunchyroll
100,000 subscribers right off the bat, boys.
Crunchyroll Expo really dropping the ball here, man. Oh my god. And plus makes me want to cosplay one of them.
Oh, I know, right?
Regis got my eyes.
I've also heard that I don't know if this is true or not, but they're doing a second round of Hololive English. Auditions.
Yeah, application's still up.
Oh, still up?
Yeah. Hold on. On the link. Y'all want audition?
Okay, of course I'm not doing that because I didn't win the big super. I didn't win the big Powerball, and from what I'm hearing as of recording, nobody won.
Wait for what? For the Powerball. Yeah.
For Powerball. So let me
obviously look at the numbers they got out. Jesus.
So right now the estimated jackpot is 1.28.
Oh, it's Mega Millions, guys.
No, Powerball. Oh, Mega Millions. Mega Millions.
Mega Millions. I think you said Powerball. Okay. Today's the 29th, so they're drawing
just happened.
Just came out today. So they don't they don't know if they actually had like a winner, right?
I think it's been how the hell do we get on, cuz I was talking, I think how the hell we
yeah,
get
Yeah,
here?
we're Yeah, how do we get here? We just talked
about...
Well,
because I said if I won the lotto, I'll definitely become a Hololive English member.
A Hololive member?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to know.
I'm just going to say Mega Millions, probably they just drew today, so just wait till...
Well, yeah.
About that, a couple hours. Because they got to go through every state and see if there's a winner or something.
Well, they would have known by now. Because the draw happened almost an hour ago.
If there's nothing, then hell, we probably get like $1 billion coming for that.
Well, no, probably like $1.5 billion.
Yeah, around that range.
So okay, so I think going back on track, yes, the auditions are out for the Hololive English, which looks cool. I mean, but the point is that the four boys are debuting literally as they debuted.
As they
literally debuted. Go.
Yeah, they literally debuted this month, and then look at them now.
Oh shit! I mean, this may be the benefit of working with Hololive, because shit, you just debuted. Now you get to go to a convention.
Damn, son.
Yeah. So the thing is with Crunchyroll Expo is that it's being dubbed Hololive Expo because we know what's happening with all of these Hololive stars. But do not forget that there's actually other people who are actually going to this convention. And I'm going to go through some of the cliff notes that's provided by Crunchyroll Expo. It's kind of like a short version of what's happening this weekend. We're getting Chainsaw Man guests, including Mambu Osaka Otsuka, the CEO of Studio MAPPA, and Makoto Kimura, the executive producer and rights management director at MAPPA. We're getting Masashiko Minami, the president and co-founder of Bones, the ones that worked on Mob Psycho 103 and Bungo Stray Dogs. Mob Psycho 103 is going to premiere at Crunchyroll Expo, so that's going to be a huge thing.
Outside of
Hololive. You have the Spy Family cast and crew, including Natalie Van Sistine, the English voice of Yor, Megan Shipman, the English voice of Anya, and Chris George, the ADR director. You also have the English cast of Jujutsu Kaisen, including Ad MacArthur, the voice of Yuji, An Yeikto, the English voice for Nobara, and Kaiji Tang, the English voice of Gojo. We're also getting musicians and creative staff for the Rising of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hero, including composer Kevin Pinkin, producer Hiromatsu Ima Najima, animation producer Kosuke Arai, and Japanese dance vocal group Mad Kid. We're getting Kinoshita Baku, the director and character designer of Autaxi. So if Autaxi was like the big anime in 2021. In fact, the director's going. Zeno Robinson, the voice of Gamma 2 in the upcoming Dragon Ball Super superhero in Hawks by Your Academia. And then the new Crunchy City Music Fest headliner, Sim. They're behind some of the hits for the Attack on Titan the final season opening, progressive J-pop group Arasashi Gakko, and then Burnout Syndromes. So that's just the short end version of all the guests that are going. And they didn't mention some of these other guests that are coming. Me and Nate pre-show, we're looking through some of the guests that are coming, not only to the con itself, but are also going virtually. Yuichiro Umehara, Shinbia Tetsuya, and Chiaki Kobayashi, they're all VAs for Shoot Go to the Future. They're going to be there. You have Akiri Kito, the VA for Nezuko and Demon Slayer. She's going. I don't know if she's going as the virtual guest because it doesn't stay here.
I don't see anything. That she's coming for a live act or anything like that. It's a mystery.
You have Yurika Kubo, who was Hanyo in the original Love Life. She's going as a virtual guest. You have Soya Chiba, who is the VA in Classroom of the Elite. We mentioned Sim. Shihori is a pop singer or songwriter. for Cowboy Bebop, One Piece, Fairy Tail. But there's a lot, and there's like a whole bunch of cosplay guests that are going. Actually, what are some of the cosplay guests that, I mean, just some of the more notable ones?
I mean, Marida is one.
Mario Benno. I think Vampy's also going too as well.
Yeah, Vampy's going as well.
Oh, Asus, why do you try to sell me your fucking Ava shit on Crunchyroll's Expo website? Yeah, there's a fucking banner ad for the Raw Evangelion. Which makes me think, can we see that shit at fucking Crunchyroll Expo if they're doing a banner ad on their website? Yeah, and there's a lot more we're not mentioning. Jade Dennis is a voice actress for Beyblade Burst Surge and JoJo Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind. There's a whole bunch of guests, and we'll post it on our show notes as it's listed, the guest lineup for Crunchyroll. So to set the stage, I was planning to go to Crunchyroll along with Nate, and then family stuff happened to where I wasn't able to go. But luckily, thanks to Crunchyroll and their press staff, thank you very much for what we've been working with so far, I was able to find a sub for me who can go and help Nate. Because this is a con that he's going to handle, you're going to handle alone, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And the thing is that there's so much guests, there's like a lot of things to do with a lot of autographs and stuff like that. And the thing is that I'm only going there for 2 days. I'm not there for Friday, but I'll be there Saturday and Sunday to cover pretty much everything that's happening around here. A lot of big guests from Japan, English voice actors are also here as well, plus a lot of directors, plus a lot of music guests that I definitely want to see, like Burnout Syndrome and Sim. So, I mean, this is definitely an exciting weekend, but at the same time, you know, I need like somebody to help me, especially when it comes to press. So that's what I kind of feel like when I went to CRX in 2019, it was busy. Like, I didn't really have much time to actually like go out and check out like what's happening around the convention, because I was mostly doing autographs, going to a music fest, getting food, you know, going to an interview here and there. I think Saturday is just gonna be like, I think that Saturday is just gonna be like whacked with just all of us, with like me and my friend who's going to be helping me out here. So we both are probably going to be just going through these interviews, going through like Q&As and that kind of stuff. And we don't even know when that is going to happen, but you know, who knows, probably by next week, we'll see how the schedule is going to be looking like. But I would imagine CRX being like a big, no doubt about it. If you're a huge anime fan, you're definitely going to love it. It's going to be more organized compared to what Anime Expo gave you. It's pretty much all over the place if you go to AX. CRX, at least, they give you all these opportunities for you to, you know, get an autograph by a person. Or if you want to meet up with this guest, you can do that. And all the stuff so that you can actually have a fun time at CRX. I mean, 2019 for me, even though I have to wake up early to get tickets, I was still able to actually get my autographs and meet up with these guests, which was an awesome experience. So if this is going to run the same way like what happened in 2019, then CRX is definitely going to be a fun convention to go to. Like, it's always been fun ever since it started back in the Santa Clara Convention Center. It's a good thing that they actually went to San Jose Convention Center because it's so much bigger now. So I'm excited to see how this goes. But to be fair, thankfully, I actually did get help, because no doubt about it, this is kind of overwhelming, seeing so many guests doing all these events and just a lot of things to go around. And I have to thank CRX staff for, I'm sorry, I have to thank CRX press for, you know, helping me out in this situation.
Mm-hmm. No, and again, thank you very much to those who've helped us so far. And hopefully, Nate, you get all the support that you get when you show up next week. Because, you know, this is one of the cons I was looking forward to go. Again, life happened, yeah, and things got to me first.
Yeah, it's fine, dude. I mean, Life comes at you first, and you know that's a top priority for sure. So
yeah.
If anything, we'll get a good report.
We'll get
something good for you, like just like coverage and stuff for CRX.
Oh, of course, that or merchandise, but.
Oh yeah, that too. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Of course. By the way, I don't know if we actually have our vendors list yet. I don't even know if there's any vendors.
You know what? Now that you got me.
Yeah, you were right about that. There are New Crunchy City Hall. Oh, that's registration, actually.
Let's see. Banner Namco Film. Okay, so I'm looking at the Central Shopping District. Let's see. Bandai Namco Filmworks, Fake Star.
If you say Bandai Namco, then that means Love Live is there too. Oh, shit. Oh, great. I bought a lot of stuff from AX. I bought a lot of AX stuff from Bandai Namco. By the way, thank you, Jericho.
No escape from crossing.
No, I guess I will probably get more.
Wait. I didn't mention GSC. Oh.
It's not there. Uh-huh. There's Kinfold, though. Kinfold. Let's see. MJ. Oh no, not that place. Panda Hat's there. Some of my good friends there. T-Turtle. Yeah. Toy Arena. Oh, that's weird. What was it? The only big name is Bandai Namco. Interesting. I thought they actually do have big names like Aniplex, for example, or Crunch. Like, I'm pretty sure Crunchyroll Store is going to be there too.
Yeah. So. Oh, and then Artist Alley's happening too as well. Don't forget about Artist Alley. And I know some people who were trying to get into CRX's Artist Alley. And yeah, some people that I know didn't get in. I'm like, oh, damn, that sucks so bad.
There's a food court in CRX. There's Crunchy City Escapes Spy X Family. Oh, interesting. Oh, for photo ops. Okay. Their meet and greet. There's also a meet and greet area at the exhibit level. So if you want to meet and greet them. Characters there, people there, music, NCC Music Fest, yeah, Crunchy City Music Fest. There's the stages that are also on the side as well. A super arcade. Oh, interesting.
So one of the big things that we were kind of figuring out with Crunchyroll Expo is, what's it going to look like post Funimation merger? And I don't think you can really tell at this juncture in time what the merger of Funimation with Crunchyroll is going to impact CRX. I just can't tell. But we're starting to see what CRX is going to be post Sony acquisition. And you mentioned gaming about the Super Arcade. Well, yeah. So CRX is going to do some collaborations with Sony Interactive Entertainment. Also, they're also going to do with Sony Interactive Entertainment, Sony Pictures Entertainment, and Red Bull. And Sony Interactive Entertainment is, they're going to do stuff for PlayStation. And they're going to do some outside contests and giveaways to celebrate the launch of the all new PS Plus game subscription service. You know, the one that got launched back in June. Yeah. You know, the new one. And then they also talk about statues of characters from publication titles will be available for photo opportunities, which is very interesting because also during this weekend is Evo, and Evo is also now owned by Sony. So I wonder if there's going to be some sort of cross-pollination with Evo, where it's like, oh, you can do maybe the play Evo somewhere, or it's kind of like, you know, what are you going to do with that? But it feels like SIE, they're splitting hairs between CRX and Evo.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is like, right, you're right. Sony is pretty much owns Crunchyroll. So obviously they want to advertise whatever the heck they want Sony wise over to CRX.
Yeah.
And you've been saying this also that they said Bullet Train is definitely one that is going to be in a spotlight, considering that it's a Sony film.
So with Bullet Train, so for people who don't know, and I think I talked about this shortly during our Anime Expo 2022 recap, because spots for Bullet Train were running during AX Lite.
Okay, here we go. Damn it, what's wrong?
I'm not the only one doing a job on this train.
You don't remember me.
You look like every white homeless man I've ever seen.
Really?
On August 5th.
Something else going on here.
What's waiting for us in Kyoto?
Fate. You stab me?
Enemies.
We need to come up with a plan.
Become allies.
Hold on!
When we get off this train, we work together or we die alone.
Maybe there's a little head trauma.
Maybe. Bullet Train, exclusively in theaters, August 5th, rated R.
So Bullet Train stars Brad Pitt, and it's a movie, I forgot what this plot's about, but it's kind of like, it's like a retired hitman, and like he has to do one last job, and it's on a bullet train, and there's so much other stuff happening. But it's, according to like this quote here, it's like, the film is a nonstop thrill ride through modern-day Japan. It's being directed by David Leitch, who did Deadpool 2. And one of the things that they're doing with Bullet Train at CRX is that they're doing an on-site contest to win a poster signed by one of the film stars in the Central Subic District. And I'm like, what the hell does Bullet Train have to do with CRX?
What did Pause Fury have to do with fucking AX?
Oh, right. Just because it's in LA is the reason why they have to premiere Pause the Fury, because it's a shit show.
I don't fucking know.
I mean, the plot looked bad. I mean, why would you want to premiere Pause the Fury? Is it like a contract deal with Paramount or something? Nonetheless, I mean, Bullet Train looks to be a much better movie to watch anyway. So, I mean,
I'll be very honest. I got tired of watching that damn spot over and over again during AX Live, but it looks good. And I think Bullet Train is coming out next week.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, and then the last one I mentioned is Red Bull. So Red Bull is bringing their state-of-the-art gaming hub to Crunchyroll Expo, inviting students from Nate's alumni school of San Jose State University to play various hit titles live for attendees. And this is where Super Arcade comes in. They can visit experience there. And Red Bull with gaming, if you've ever watched Red Bull Kumite for something like Street Fighter or Tekken, or you've seen like the Red Bull Conquest, or some of the stuff they do with some of the other conventions, Red Bull has a spot in the FGC in a lot of esports titles. So the fact that you have Sony Interactive Entertainment, you have Sony Pictures Entertainment, and you have Red Bull all coming together at CRX, and it's like, if you'd said this for any other con, I'd be like, what the hell did they pull? But because it's CRX, it's something that's owned by Sony, I just feel like we're starting to see the beginnings of what CRX is going to look like with all this Sony stuff put together.
I'm not surprised about it. I mean, once you merge to a big company like Sony, that obviously will do whatever it takes to, like, promote the heck out of it. I mean, it's like saying the same thing if a con got promoted by Disney, for example. Then you get to see a lot of Disney titles and ABC titles all over the place.
You think, like, the Sony money was what brought Hololive in?
Possibly. I would imagine so.
Also up, we can post this also in our show notes too as well, is the Crunchyroll schedule. And look at some of the stuff that's happening. And I think, like, for example, all eyes are going to be at the Crunchyroll stage at 8:15 on Friday. Oh, on Friday? Really? The Hollow meet at CRX with the special panel with Amelia and Guar.
Oh, that's that's the one day I can't be able to make it just because of work and all. Because they're my two favorite. They're like my two favorite Hololive characters.
Matt, real quick, can you pronounce Gora's first name again?
Guar.
Okay, I'm just sorry. Okay, because like I think I might have misheard you there because I was thinking like
I hella shortened it.
Okay, because like I thought you were talking about like the metal band real quick.
Yes. <so high. laughs>
It does hella shorten Watson, Amelia, and Guar Gura's name. That's all I did.
Guar Gura. Oh.
I was damn, Guar showing up?
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's like one of the first meets on Friday night at 8:15. I'm like, God damn it. But I'll miss it. I'll be there Saturday and Sunday. So.
Oh, but right before that is the Mob Psycho 100. 3 world premiere.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Oh, the world Mob Psycho 3. Oh. Okay, so I love the fact that there's still something that says content coming soon. I'm like, what the content? Give me something. Like content. I'm going down the list and I'm like, there's something that says content coming soon. I'm like, content.
I'm sorting it by place. So like for example, Saturday, you have industry panel at 2:30 at the Crunchyroll stage. Jujutsu English panel following at 4:15. The Cosmic Cup at 7. Sunday, it's the Odd Taxi conversation with Baku Kinoshita, the Chainsaw Man panel. That might be a really popular one.
Yeah, there's a lot of like good events for the Crunchyroll stage. I mean, Crunchyroll panel definitely want to check out. I mean, I got them listed up already. And if I'm possibly going to be checking out Takanashi Kiara. They have the panel before the Crunchyroll panel, so maybe I'll go check it out if there's no scheduled interviews, that is.
Yeah, stuff and then, so on the Hime stage, there's a whole bunch of stuff happening, but there's a lot of premieres happening. Blue Lock premiering on Friday. You have Inspector Season 2 premiering on Saturday. You have Tonikawa Over the Moon for You Uniform premiering. You have Do It Yourself premiering also. Sunday they're gonna re-show Jujutsu Zero. So if you didn't watch the Zero movie in theaters, you can watch it here at Crunchyroll on Sunday. So new Crunchy City Music Fest. James Lanier is premiering at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock on Friday. Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Yeah. I know.
So, Arasashi Gakko is headlining Friday. Sim is headlining Saturday, and Alberto Sanchez is headlining Sunday. And I think, you know what? Now that I said that, Crunchyroll Expo is one of those cons where they run stuff all the way through the end.
Pretty much, yeah. And remember, this is not a 24-hour con. This ain't no Fanime. But the thing is, they're entertaining everybody throughout the whole entire day. Like Sim as the headliner, so I would imagine a lot of people, definitely who are metalheads, definitely would love to listen to Sim. I've got that on my schedule, by the way. Burnout Syndrome is definitely a good banger band to end the day because it does end around 6, I believe, for CRX on Sunday. But to say the least, like, with how they're setting up their artists playing at Music Fest, it just goes from like the beginning. Like from good all the way to the best, and it works out for each day to say.
Yeah, because I will say with some cons they do run content through the end of the convention, but Crunchyroll Expo is the one that I know that like especially all of the music stuff, they run that through the end of con. It's like to have a Sunday headliner is kind of like unprecedented in terms of what CRX has done. Because I would picture Burnout Syndrome's performing as a matinee on Sunday, like 11/12 o'clock performance.
I Burnout Syndrome is a really good band, though. I mean, not as good as like Flow or not as good as Flow or Uberworld, for example. I mean, Burnout Syndrome definitely does have their anime music that also gets featured. And like I said, they're not a bad band. So I definitely was hyped when I heard Burnout Syndrome was coming. So
they played Fly High at the Persona Masquerade.
They did?
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, you're talking about the song, not
yeah, they
them.
Played the song, not Burnout Syndrome. But, I love Haikyuu, so I'm pretty familiar
yes.
with them.
Yes, Haikyuu.
Nate, now I'm hungry for Haikyuu's.
Oh god, it's just a candy bun.
you said Haikyuu, so I'm like,
yes, Haikyuu.
Go Haikyuu.
I love it. Yeah. Bill, I kind of teased with my friends Haikyuu, Haikyuu. So.
Oh shit. Well, thanks for letting me know, Nate. I was about to fucking ding your ass for that.
It was a joke, guys.
So the way we've done this preview so far is a whole lot different than what we did for Anime Expo, because there's a lot happening compacted into 3 days. This is, if you mention all of this stuff that's happening, you think it's a 4-day con.
Yep.
But no, it's only 3 days, and it's not in 24 hours like we've said. It's more like an AX style, if anything. But I'm really excited for Crunchyroll just because, you know, especially if Crunchyroll does it right in terms of their vaccine verification and all that, because if you don't people wait hours on end.
I think they're going to obviously like do the same thing with what Fanime did. Like they would, I mean, the long line would probably be a thing that's probably going to happen for a while. I mean, Anime Expo at least was able to get through the vaccination status just really fast. So if they can learn the whole vaccination line from that and run it through CRX, then you should be good. But content-wise for CRX, definitely does have so much potential. From obviously Hololive Meet definitely is going to be the top line, like the headliner for CRX. But you also do have other things that are also there as well. I mean, you also have the industry panels, you have the you have cosplay gatherings too, which you have never mentioned, by the way. There's also the meet and greets. There's also a lot of guests that are also there, plus the premieres of like big animes like Mob Psycho 3 and a lot of other animes. But to say the least, though, I mean, it is definitely a big convention. It's definitely a big convention for smaller space. But it definitely runs kind of like Anime Expo, so. Yeah. And it's going to be very exciting.
So we talked about COVID, and you said like how Crunchyroll's gonna check. Well, they're just gonna do what all the cons are doing, is you get
it's
to
the thing. It's the thing that they did at AX, for example. They're going to do the same thing, like have everybody in line, and then all you got to do is just show your vaccination status, and then go through.
Yeah, there's no Clear app.
No, that's what Fatime did. That's what Fatime did as a mistake, because the Clear app definitely didn't help them at all.
So CRX right now, it feels like we're on an upper beat, because I'm like, oh my god, there's so much happening, and again, so much can change between now and next week, and B, change between when we get to the beginning of Crunchyroll Expo and the end of Crunchyroll Expo, because...
Look, here's the thing. Do you think they have more announcements? I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it'd be one thing if they did.
I mean, the fact that they announced the latest Hololive guys that are coming, too, and I'm like, wait, sorry. They announced the Hololive English... guy voice actors too, and it just tells me like what's next. Are there more Hololive people they're gonna bring out too?
Speaking okay, one more thing about Hololive, because I want to bring something up, because we talk about stuff that happened in the past, like for example buying tickets for the Persona 25th Masquerade at AX, only to realize it was sold out, and we mentioned on the pod it doesn't really matter because it's all sold out. Well, back when Hololive Me and all these Hololive people got announced, they did the whole Hololive raffle campaign where you had the ability.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. And we talked about this with one of our friends mutual friends that we know on Facebook, and he got three of these, but what you had
lucky
to do
asshole.
Was,
God damn it, Dick.
So what you had to do was you had to put yourself in a lottery for the chance to buy a $65 meet and greet with some virtual
VTuber.
Yeah. So when I first saw that, I'm like, oh, it's for free. It's like, no, you're in a raffle to pay $65 to go see somebody. I'm like, I'd drop hella money on fucking Mori. I would. I mean,
I dropped to grab Gura, and luckily I was able to get a Gura meet and greet. So, ayo. I mean, to be fair, for a weekend pass, it's pretty much half. $65 is pretty much half your weekend pass. So technically, if you're going to go for this meet and greet with a Hololive VTuber, you're technically paying half of you're technically paying an additional half of your badge.
How long do you get to like?
I gotta go. I need to check the details on that. Let me see. It's gonna be interesting. How am I gonna talk to her? How am I gonna talk to Gura?
Well, the same way that all of you do, which is they probably have a camera somewhere.
Probably.
And they respond accordingly. I mean, how the fuck did Connor and Iron Mouse talk at the whole AX thing?
This is gonna be so interesting, because like, yeah. I'll be like a real live personal interview actually talking to her.
Well, my god, we'll
slow questions, Nate.
God.
I try to find out how long it is. I think it's half an hour.
Hololive. Let me see. The meet and greet physically. The meet and greet take physically inside CRX. You must have a valid CRX badge for the day of your meet and greet. You cannot take part virtually. You must physically attend CRX to be at this meet and greet. Reservations. Yeah. Let's see. One entry per person. Let's see the facts here, because I have a fact here. How long does it? How long does sweepstakes run? Does it matter when I enter? How many times can I enter? Do I have to use my real name? Yes. Do I need a CRX ticket to enter? Yes. I'm 18. You can't transfer meet and greets to friends.
Are you just running through all the details that I kind of know about already?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. I don't see the time, though. Huh. I don't see how long you can actually, you know, hang out with your Hololive winner, to say.
That's interesting. I would have to say it's probably going to be a half hour or an hour. Probably half hour. If so many people bought in for $65, I think it's gonna be like at least maybe a half hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, that's a lot of things to talk to her about. Yeah. Oh jeez.
But that's cool. You get to talk to Guarguda, and our mutual friend of ours get to talk to three of them. I'm like, okay.
the thing is that he was a fan. He's a fan of Hololive, so at least he was able to actually get the ones that he liked. So you know, good for him.
Mm-hmm. So, any because you're primarily Nate, you're the one that's running CRX this year. You got any closing thoughts as we wrap up this preview?
I mean, to say the least, I'm really excited to see everybody again for this convention. This looks like another fun one for CRX. And if it's going to be run just like what happened back in 2019, I would imagine it being, you know, full of autographs, full of guest appearances, full of cosplays, and a lot of fun times. If anything, like, if I could compare like Fanime and CRX, Fanime, like, there's not really much you can do if you love to attend panels, if you love to go to Dealers Hall Artist Alley, that's pretty much Fanime for you. But then CRX is on a whole different level where you have the opportunity to actually go to these panels, have the opportunity to go to these concerts, meet up with guests, get autographs easily compared to what AX is. It's all, to say the least, Crunchyroll Expo definitely is a perfect convention, especially if it's run, like, really well. And I trust the staff. I mean, I have friends who also work at Crunchyroll and work behind the scenes at Crunchyroll Expo who pretty much made and organized this convention to become pretty much HoloLive Con. And they did a really good job with it. Besides that, I can't wait to see other big-time guests. I mean, definitely one person that I can't wait to see is Zeno Robinson. He definitely is an awesome guy, from his voice acting in anime to voice acting in cartoons. He's everywhere. Like, if you watch a cartoon, you get to see Zeno Robinson's, like, credit somewhere in it. So I can't wait to see him. Adam MacArthur is definitely an awesome guy. He voices in Jujutsu Kaisen. But the thing is that he also voices Marco Diaz in Star vs. Force of Evil. That I can't wait to see and talk to him about. Which, by the way, I also do have autographs for them, too, so I can't wait to get autographs for them as well. But besides that, the Japanese guest looks awesome. There's some Japanese guests that are going to be virtual, which makes sense, considering that we're still under COVID times. So it makes sense for the respect of the guests that they'll just stay at home and do a virtual panel instead of actually coming over to the United States and risking getting COVID and everything. But besides that, I don't know what else to say. CRX looks to be fun. I can't wait to see Sim. I can't wait to see Burnout Syndromes. Can't wait to see all the guests and all my friends, and pretty much have like an amazing CRX out there. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I hope all the best for you, Nate. I wish I was out there for you, but you know, life goes a certain way, and I gotta take care of stuff up here back in SAC. But with the help that I approved, you should be more than capable of running this con.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You're welcome. So, this preview that we did for CRX is a lot different than what we did for any other preview. And it just depends on how everything is laid out, what the most anticipated stuff is. That's to say that's why I tried to run through everyone else, because it's all HoloLive people doesn't mean you take out, like, Burnout Syndromes and the people from Bones, Studio Mappa.
I gotta say this, though. It's not all about HoloLive. There are other guests that are there that could probably make you want to check out their panel or get an autograph with them.
Yeah. So, and I want to tell people this. Yes. Do not forget that there's everything outside of HoloLive. Please.
But just realizing it, though. 50, like, there's like about 50 sort of guests that are coming to CRX. I'm like, damn. And that's like, half of it is mostly HoloLive.
You know what? Freaking HoloLive, they're writing freaking SAC anime numbers in terms of who they're bringing. Cause, where are you, SAC anime? SAC anime. Cause that's the next thing. Well, that's the next call we'll talk about later on. When we get past CRX, they have announced, like, they announced 8 guests all at once.
Oh, damn.
And they're all from Venta Pirate Princess. So, Brittany Cox, yep. Nicholas Korda, Daryl Delphin, Anjali Kuna Penine, Alan Lee, Rob Moreira, Brandon Winkler, and Thomas Swin are all going to SAC Anime.
Oh, damn. I'm not surprised, considering that they did a My Hero Academia SAC anime before. Remember, they had like most of the My Hero Academia guests.
Yeah, and then JB Blanc, for example, is also going. There's that huge Naruto reunion that's gonna happen, as well as the Apex Legends gathering that's gonna happen. and then you have Greg Sips, you know, from Teen Titans. So you have the Teen Titans people going. You have. So I think it feels like SAC anime, just kind of a little bit tangent. So it feels like it's Naruto, Fenta, Apex Legends, Teen Titans Go. So it's like, that's a lot of people.
Yep. But then like the level is also like the same as CRX, and you know, I feel like Sac Anime does have like, I wouldn't say more, but it's more like in the same level as like how CRX is doing it this year when it comes to like big guests coming over to the con and everything.
And you know, don't get it twisted.
Do not get it twisted.
Sac Anime is not really known for Japanese side guests. I mean, we've had, Sac Anime has had a couple in its lifetime, but it's far and few between. Sac goes heavy on the English side guests. So someone like Azina Robinson also could show up to Sac Anime because nope. He's English. And it's some of these other people that are going. But the fact that, like, they're doing a whole, like, because I say this when Sac happens. They do themes of certain, like, anime and certain video games. Like, summer 2019 was Red Dead Redemption 2, and they brought in everyone who voiced the main cast in that game. And to see that person, it was like, holy shit, that was amazing. And then I think it was summer 2018, I believe. We had a whole bunch of people at Sac Anime, and I'll tell the story to finish out the pod. Because at the time, we were like, wait, you have everyone from Yuri on Ice here. Why don't we do a Yuri on Ice panel? And the legend goes, they got me to MC the Euro Dice panel. Because the other MC at the time could not make it because he was MCing another event. So they brought me and they said, who can we find that knows Euro Dice? Like, I know. So I remember on stage at Sac Anime, and I'm sweating bullets. I'm like, oh my god, I have to bring in all of these guests, and I'm literally going through Wikipedia, pulling up, I'm pulling up names like Josh Groud. He did Yuri Katsuki. I'm pulling up all of these names. I'm like, ooh, and I think one of the biggest moments I had was having Mr. Grail wear my Yuri glasses on stage.
Oh,
I was wearing my Yuri glasses at the panel, and I had him wear it for a little bit. Because at least for the rest of the year, we're looking at Crunchyroll, and then you know we kind of do Sac, but Sac's just more of something that I do. And then, but then the big thing after CRX is gonna be Komori. And also we're also looking to try to do Anime Expo Ontario. Not that's AX Canada, Light Nate, right? AX Canada. Ontario, California.
I thought when you said Ontario, I thought you were talking
about Canada. No, I'm enunciating because you keep saying AX Light. It's not AX Light. If you're gonna call it something, call it AX lowercase.
Yeah, the way that AX Ontario is phrasing, I mean lowercase A and X, and it's red. It's in their red and black textures. It just tells me like it's a very small. It's obviously gonna be a very small version of Anime Expo. so that's why I'm like,
it's probably gonna cap on the name alone.
Oh god,
pretty much, yeah, dude, you cannot fit like 100,000 people in that convention center. I would imagine 25,000 at the most, if anything.
I can't promise anything about trying to do coverage at Anime Expo Ontario, but I know definitely we're going to try to pull something together for CRX. Not CRX, we're doing CRX already. Komori.
get your comps right.
Yeah, did we mention that for Komori that Christina V is going?
I don't think we did.
Yeah, so
I know they had like recent guests that got announced for
Komori. So Christina V got announced.
Hey, nice. Oh, that means we can actually do the interview again with everybody this time, not me.
Because I think the timeline, if we remember from last year, which was, we started talking about Komori late September, early, and we really wrapped it up in October, then we got to Komori. So that's what it's going to look like for probably the rest of the year. So we'll do CRX. We might do a little bit of small coverage of Sac, and then we'll definitely put up for Komori / AX Ontario, depending on how that works out. And then we'll call it 2023. But for right now, right now we're just focused right now on the moment, and that is CRX. or Hololive Con. So
Hololive Con, yeah.
So everyone get your blue light glasses on because you're gonna stare at a lot of screens this weekend, people.
It's true. It's true. Whatever. I'm okay with it.
And on that note about protecting your eyes, because I wear blue light glasses because I stare at a computer screen for almost 40 hours a week, it's time for us to end this podcast. I want to thank you all for listening to the CaliCon Blogcast. If you like what you heard, please follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And for the most part, we're on all major platforms. To close us out tonight, we're going to stay in the Bay, and we're going to go a little bit back in time. We're going to turn back the clock, and we're going to play you an old joint. This is Souls of Mischief 93 to Infinity.
Yo, what's up? This is Tajay of the Mighty Souls of Mischief crew. I'm chilling with my man Festo, my man A-Plus, and my man Bo. You know, he's dope. Yeah. And right now, you know, we're just maxing in the studio. We're hailing from East Oakland, California, and sometimes it gets a little hectic out there. But right now, you know, we gonna up you on how we just chill.
Down to 7 digits.